Could you please make James Purser welcome? He's going to be talking about building the independent way.
All right, my talk is essentially a follow-on to Dan. Dan started but introduced us to Federation, and my talk is about taking Federation to the next level and building, using it to build the independent wave outside of Google. Wrong key. Okay. In a nutshell, the independent wave is all things wavy outside of Google. So for this, I actually include Fed1 in the independent wave because it's not part of what I call G-Wave, the Google Wave service, which is what you've just had trouble logging into, or, you know, in your that shiny web interface and everything else. So, you know, respect my leaked graphic skills. So you've got the two separate... You've got the two separate areas there. Now, at the moment, Google Wave is huge, which is only natural because that's what everybody's been focusing on. So everybody's writing robots, everybody's writing gadgets, everybody's reverse engineering the JSON protocol so they can stick it in Emacs. I don't know why. But and so the independent wave is quite small. There's a small group of people who work on Federation or writing their own servers or writing agents for Fed1, or just sort of mucking around in that. But in the future, iWave needs to be bigger than G-Wave. The reason for that is that Google Wave is going to rely on iWave for its own growth. And iWave is going to need to be bigger. Essentially, Google Wave is going to need iWave to be bigger than Google Wave because people will be using the protocols, building on it. Here's why. Okay, every system evolves. Google Wave is still at an early stage, so it's constantly evolving. And evolution in software happens as in evolution in life. Mutations allow old forms to occupy new niches. Federation and the independent wave allows for a more rapid evolution of the wave idea through exposure to different environments. People, you know, may set up their own servers inside their own businesses, may integrate wave into different software packages like Plone or SharePoint or any other number of systems. And as I said, iWave creates demand for G-Wave. What's happening in iWave at the moment? There are actually four servers that people have written that do at least some part of the Wave idea. Fed1 is Google's reference implementation. This is, as Dan said, this is their hello world, this is how Federation works type setup. It's Java, but I'll go into more detail for all of them. Ruby on Rails is a Wave server written in Ruby, as you may imagine, by a 17-year-old kid in the US. Now, he's quite impressive. Pygo Wave started out as a gadget tester for Google Wave, but they've actually taken it further. And of course, we saw the Nobel Pulse introduction earlier on. Okay, Fed1. This is Google's open reference server, released under Apache license, so anybody can take this code, so long as they include the attribution. Apache has attribution, doesn't it? I think. No? Okay. So you can just take the code, build what you like out of it, and move on. It implements a full Federation protocol. In fact, this is pretty much your standard study for how Federation works. This is how people have reverse engineered Federation from. This is where people are reverse engineering Federation from in the other servers. It's not production ready, and it's not meant to be production ready. It's you don't keep your waves. If your server goes down, there is no user authentication on Fed1. There's any number of reasons why it's not ready for production, but it's great for picking apart. It's under heavy development. We already have third-party contributions being code-reviewed for it outside of Google. There is a working agents implementation. Now, agents are really funky, and I'll get into them a bit more, but Fed1 actually has a working agents implementation. And, of course, we have the console-based client, which everybody knows, loves, except on Windows where the console just sucks. Ruby on Rails, as I said, is a system written by a 17-year-old kid in the States. He's still at high school, and he's decided that he's going to write everything in Ruby. I don't know why, but he does. For given value of awesome. He's actually written a web-based interface for it. It federates with the Sandbox and Fed1 servers. It does character-by-character transmission, but he's actually sat down and decided to rewrite a large chunk of it. I was speaking to him a couple of days ago in preparation for this, and he said that he needed to actually rewrite it because he wanted to create his own client-server protocol. because he wanted to be able to allow people who don't use the web interface to be able to come in and look at it. PygoWave. Pygo is Python Django based, with a couple of other things thrown in there. It started life, as I said, as a gadget testing framework for G-Wave. You could load your gadget up, you could test to make sure it works. I think it was compliant with the gadget API. It's still being actively developed, but they've taken it a lot further than just gadgets now. They are at a point where they can do internal operational transforms. They don't federate at the moment, but that's a future target for them. They're also actively developing their own client-server protocol, and they had their own native client, a QT-based client, for testing with it. Again, none of these servers are production-ready, so I've just slotted that in. These guys are very interesting in that they've decided that they're just going to keep working on this stuff until it works. They just keep hacking at it. Pulse, I don't know much about beyond what they've written on their website. So this is it's a social web aggregator from what I can tell. They announced Wave support soon after Google I.O. We're still waiting to see what it actually does when it comes out. It's closed source, and they're initially going to be releasing it as a software as a service type offering, and then an installable product. So there we go. We now have four servers that do something with Wave. I mean, it's a good start. Okay, here are the clients that people have written. We've got QWave and PygoWave QT. QWave client is actually somebody's taken in FedOne, the way that the server communicates with the console is via Google Protobus. Now, somebody has actually has compiled those into C++ and is building a QT application around it. It's cross-platform. It'll work on Windows, anything that supports QT. It works with the FedOne iWave server. I've actually tested it myself. It works well-ish. There are a few bugs, but it's still under development. Again, not production-ready, but QT-based, which is very interesting because both of these clients are both QT-based. Now, this is the native client that I was talking about before with PygoWave. They've decided that they're going to build their own client-server protocol, and in order to do that, they need something to test it with. It's a proof of concept, and it's limited to their client-server protocol anyway. I actually haven't looked at this yet. I need to set it up and have a run through. Okay, let's have a look at some of the challenges faced by the independent Wave. Basically, we're looking at structural challenges. We're looking at protocols, because we have federation, but we don't have anything else at the moment. We have integration with existing systems, because the Wave has to talk to other people. And then we have agents. I put agents in their own category because they represent both opportunities and a very special form of challenge. Okay, the big one, the client-server protocol. Now, there's been a lot of debate about this, whether it should be XMPP-based, whether it should be, you know, stick with the protobus, whether it should be another format, but something has to be there. Apart from anything else, a lot of people don't work in the web world. A lot of people don't go, okay, I'm going to live in the web. They use native applications on a day-to-day basis. They use Outlook, they use Evolution, they use Thunderbird for their email clients. So if you want to translate them over to Wave, you're going to need to give them a native offering of that as well. So, and they need to be able to move that application to different Wave servers. So we're going to need a client-server protocol. It also allows for greater development, because if there's a set standard, people can build around it. And it also invites new people into offering services. People can build clients outside of the email servers, or the Wave servers. Again, we have integrating with existing systems. Wave needs to talk. Wave is a collaboration device. At its very basic, it is allowing people to talk to each other about stuff. So it needs to be able to integrate with other collaboration systems, whether it's your company intranet, whether it's something like a social networking framework. It needs to be able to plug into that. That's where agents will come in. Any iWave server that doesn't support agents will not succeed. I'll show you what integration means later on this afternoon when I talk about PlonyBot. Okay, agents are very special. Agents offer you the opportunity to provide that seamless integration. We can talk to people, we can do stuff over a variety of different networks and manage it all through the Wave. But they can also offer a really big challenge. What do you do with a malicious agent? How do you determine what a malicious, whether it is an agent being malicious or it's being another person, or it's another person? With the Google Wave set up at the moment, they only allow bots that are supported on App Engine. But what happens when agents are going to be started to be hosted remotely, as you can do with FedOne? Before they federated FedOne with the sandbox, agents were working quite well within the FedOne framework. And they appeared to a remote user, say somebody on the sandbox, as another person. So if they're another person, how do you determine whether it's being a bot that's being bad or being a person being bad? So, I mean, the opportunities for maliciousness are endless. They can really make or break Wave. Too many bad bots, people won't use it because it's just too much of a hassle. But if you can control that and sort it out in some way, it'll make it. Okay, so what we need to build the independent Wave, we need the foundations. Even the most impressive building needs a solid foundation. iWave requires Google. Okay, apart from anything else, Google Wave is the most popular service, so we need to be able to talk to them. We need an active developer community. Now, that's something that's being built up slowly, and as more and more systems or products come online, more and more people will become involved. Products and services. Now, we've already discussed 4 servers, 2 clients. None of them are production-ready. What we need is a production-ready, independent Wave service so that people can actually take it, install it inside their organization, and work with it. We also need standards. We've already talked about the client-server protocol, talked about federation, but we need these standards to be backed up by either a group or somebody like that, or submit them to the IEEE or whatever it is you want. They need backing. Okay, standards is, we have one defined standard at the moment. That's federation. We don't have, I mean, standards give developers certainty. I mean, SMTP, everybody knows how to, I can speak SMTP on a telnet session. So I know how to talk SMTP. If I know how to talk federation, I can talk federation. If I know how to talk client-server, I can build applications that talk client-server. But if it's mixed up and everywhere, I can't do that. I'm not certain, so I'm not going to build for it. So what we need is a client-server protocol, which I've already talked about. We also need an agents protocol. We need to be able to sort out some way of defining how an agent behaves and how to determine whether a participant is an agent. Okay, we need ecologies. We've talked about the Google Wave ecology. We've got people who write robots, we've got people who write gadgets, we've got people who hack the client-server protocol. That's one ecology. These servers that I mentioned before, they're opportunities for building other ecologies. So you can people will build for Pygo Wave, will build for Ruby on Rails. They'll build for FedOne. I've already done a couple of robots for FedOne. They're going to build for Pulse too, depending on if Pulse releases an API that they can do. But these essential ecologies will build up to the greater iWave ecology, which will again supplement the Google Wave ecology. Okay, the opportunities for the iWave are really huge at the moment. Many organizations are interested in Wave. They want to know how Wave can help them because it's very cool. The collaboration thing, the way of determining who's done what is really, really attractive to people because they want to be able to see, you know, we've seen emails, people fake an email or people do what with emails. You can't really track it that well. But Google Wave or Wave allows people to do that in a way that is authoritative. So, but they can't use Google Wave. I've been contacted by a group in Canada who wants to use it, but they run an electronic counseling service. So they can't use Google Wave because they can't, for various privacy reasons, they can't have that sort of data hosted outside of their control on third-party servers. Commercial confidentiality. Businesses tend to be paranoid about stuff that they put on other people's servers. Okay, they want to be able to control the data in a way that they know exactly who's got access to it. Infrastructure requirements. If they've got say third-party services that they have inside their network, and they don't want to open up another port to allow somebody from to allow Google Wave integration, then they need to be able to do it inside their own network. That's another opportunity. And these are, this is where people can really get into, get involved into building the independent wave. This is my ideal wave server. I just thought I'd throw this in. Basically, my ideal wave server needs to take over the email functionality. Okay, it needs to replace your email server because it needs to be able to merge the idea of email and make Wave the natural successor to email. It needs to federate, of course. It needs to support a standardized Wave client-server protocol. Groupware you throw in there because, you know, face it, if you're replacing email, you need to offer the sort of groupware functionality that a lot of people build around email servers nowadays. And we also need to support a Wave agent server protocol when that gets defined. All right, final thoughts. The G-Wave and the I-Wave need each other. They can't work independently. Independent Wave needs Google Wave to funnel growth. Google Wave needs Independent Wave to talk to. Because if there's only Google Wave happening, then people aren't going to be able to take it into their organizations as for the reasons I mentioned. And they're all part of the greater wave ecology. They feed off each other in a symbiotic process. Early work is being done. Dan and his group is doing a lot of work with FedOne and the Federation stuff. People are starting to take the first steps towards taking that work and building on it. It's exciting. I love it. I love this sort of stuff. Getting involved in this early stage of the development of this stuff is very exciting. And that's me. I can go away now. Sorry? Please, hold on. Just.
I'm probably betraying my ignorance here, but you've made a very strong comparison between email and Wave.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm not familiar with any easy way to bridge the two. Are there agents out there that are doing this today?
No, well, see, there isn't. There aren't any agents on Google Wave that allow you to do email, really integrated email to Wave, that sort of tight integration. That's a nature of the beast in terms of using App Engine and the way it works. I've done some exploratory work on that, but it's not there yet. In terms of the independent Wave, that's where you can start building that sort of functionality in. When you build your server, you can say, I want to build email into the system. And that's, I mean, as I said, we're at early days yet with this sort of stuff. So we have the opportunity to start building it from the bottom up rather than having to try and stuff it down from the top down.
So you'd be talking about a server that did SMTP out one side and
Wave
the Federation protocol out the other.
Yeah.
And nobody's doing that?
Not at the moment, no. As I said, we're early days sort of stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. And I mean, just if I may comment, that client-server protocol and then a federation protocol is very like fragmented beginnings of email, where your Novell GroupWise client might use its own client-server protocol internally, and then you know you escape from the enclave through SMTP to the wider email world. But my feeling is that over time, you know, more people use SMTP on the internal side. And that may be the evolution that happens here.
As I said, evolution happens because people present different situations for it to happen. I mean, as in life or as in software.
Hey, Jim, do you mind if I add something to the answer about the email aspects?
Yep.
So we did a lot. We tried really hard to build an email gateway, which is, I think, what you really want. Man, is it hard. So the use cases involved, basically taking Wave and having it interoperate with email for every different edge case ends up making Wave boil down to email. And then you're doing email in a Wave, the Wave client is effectively just an email client then, because otherwise you're spamming, you're sending a whole bunch of emails every character, like that wouldn't be a good idea. And so there's enough of those issues that we ended up putting it on the back burner. And we invested a lot of time and a lot of code into trying to make it happen. I think one thing that we have thought about is that, you know, notifications are one potential way to sort of bring a bring heads up that waves are happening and there's activity happening for like our Google Wave instance. But I think from the independent wave perspective, another thing you could think about is that, you know, when you're building a new client, you could actually intersperse waves and emails and just make the UI clear that when you're doing wave stuff, it uses it uses Fed1 as a basis, and when you're using, you know, email stuff, it does SMTP. That's also an opportunity. But these are all just the various ideas. But certainly, email is very important and is very core, so we need to figure out what to do.
Well, then just one more point on that. Sure, we know what email is, and it's static.
Yeah.
Now, all I would seem to me you need to do is have some capability for saying, this wave is closed, it's done, and I want to send it. And replies, you know, maybe they just get appended. You can't do the email. I mean, email will never do what wave does. That's why we're here. But there needs to, I think there's some way you can get the two to at least, you know, put more people in the club.
So I agree we need to figure out something. I think that the point you raised is exactly the slippery slope that we did go down and try to figure it out. But, we need to figure out what to do. There's one other comment about email. Or is this a different question? Let's go ahead and move into more questions, but the point he just raised is that you can do sort of a digest notification either of what's happened in a given email or a given wave and go either direction, or as a set of search results where it's like, you know, here are the 10 waves that have changed recently. Yeah. So in the longer term, he's pointing out the problem sort of goes away when you have a lot more usage of a variety of different wave providers. That's a further out point, I would say, just because I think it will take time. And so Sam, I think you're...
You're building this iWave. Maybe I'm misleading, but what exactly was your interest in it? Why are you building it?
Okay, well, why am I interested in the iWave?
No, are you doing, is that another Google project, or are you working for someone else? Or?
Oh, I work for myself.
You work for yourself?
Yeah, I hack on this stuff because I enjoy it. I know, I'm a masochist.
Right.
My whole interest in the iWave is because I like Google Wave, but I think it can do much better. From a purely selfish point of view, I run my own collaborative consultancy. So Wave as a collaboration tool fits perfectly with what I do. And I want to be able to offer it to more people, and I can do that outside of Google Wave rather than inside. Any more questions? Hey, I bored you all.
Thank you, James.
No worries.